Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a storywala, an accomplished professional from India, Mr. Amin Haq. Amin, welcome to the show. Amin is the founder of Storywalas. And we'll talk about Storywalas in more detail. He's a business storyteller and a story coach. So, I mean, let's start with Storywalas. Tell me about this venture and what was your motivation to start it?
I wish I had an epiphany story to share with you, but it didn't happen that way.
Okay.
But when I look back, the dots do connect.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, I was a shy and reserved kid. Mm-hmm. And to help me overcome that reserved nature, my mom, who was a teacher and a college lecturer, she enrolled me into theater and elocution and debate competitions and poetry recitation, and all of these things helped me quite a bit. And out of all of these, I fell in love with theater.
Mm-hmm.
The stage gave me a lot of confidence because there was a mask on my face.
Correct.
I was not playing myself, but someone else.
Mm.
And I fell in love with theater. But I also come from middle class India, where you don't choose theater as a career choice.
Yeah.
You choose what you are eligible for or what your marks make you eligible for. I chose a career in advertising.
Okay.
And that is also storytelling. You tell stories of brands.
Absolutely.
And in the evenings, after office hours, I used to do theater.
Mm.
So advertising by day, theater by evening, two different kinds of storytelling, and working with narratives.
Mm.
Doing that for a long time, I realized that stories have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't leverage that power
as
much as we can in a range of situations and application areas.
Mm.
And I was excited by the possibility of taking it to schools and working with teachers and help teachers become better storytellers.
Mm.
So it's with that desire that we started Storywalas.
Amazing, amazing. So my logical next question to you, Amin, is what makes a good story?
A whole lot of things, but more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have started confusing storytelling with oratory, with public speaking, with slick social media campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's about going back to fundamentals. Authenticity makes the story.
Mm-hmm.
In a sea of stories where we are drowning with narratives, what stands the test of time is authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Let me illustrate through a story.
Yeah.
So Ratan Tata was traveling by car, and some of his colleagues were with him, and the car was on a highway. Maybe they were going from Mumbai to Nashik, and the car broke down. Now, what do we do when a car breaks down? People step out for a stretch break, and they want to stretch their arms and legs, and the smokers welcome a smoke break, and that's exactly what started happening. But soon his colleagues realized that Mr. Tata is nowhere to be seen, so they went looking for him. Guess where they found him? He was sitting on the road, sleeves rolled up, helping the driver fix the car.
Wow.
Now, you can write in golden letters at the reception on the wall that we treat people well, there's dignity of labor, etc. But for me, a story is not just what you say, it's what you do.
Absolutely.
And your actions speak much louder than words. So that's the first ingredient. Is your story authentic?
Amazing.
The second one is that the best storyteller about your organization or about you is not you.
Hmm.
You can't be the spokesperson. You can't be, the best story about any organization is told by its customers. Say, take the podcast, The Brand Called You.
Hmm.
The listeners are the best people to tell the story.
Absolutely.
So we live in that world where advertising is believed lesser,
and
word of mouth is believed more.
Very well said.
Are we converting every customer, every stakeholder into a brand ambassador? And that's what makes a good story. The third, of course, is the articulation.
Yeah.
Then all the other storytelling elements, which is great articulation, connecting with emotions, and ensuring that your story is not about you, but something that connects with people, where they find something in your story that resonates with them. All of these are also important, but they must come later. Articulation, good, great beginnings, impactful ending, all of that comes later. They are important, very important.
Wonderful.
But to me, authenticity and ensuring that your customers or your stakeholders are your storytellers, not you. These are key.
Wonderful. That, you know, and nobody's explained this to me so well as you have done, Amin. Thank you so much. But my next question to you is, can the art of storytelling be taught, or do a few people have it and they can help me in writing it?
It's a muscle. We are born with that muscle.
Okay.
We are the only species. The human species is the only species with that ability. However, to be born with something is not the same as being good with it. Let me explain through a simple example. Most of us are lucky to be born with two legs.
Correct.
That doesn't make us marathon runners. And marathon runners are not born with six legs. They just exercise those muscles a lot more than we do. The storytelling muscle is exactly like that. It's a muscle. It needs to be exercised with the right tools, frameworks, and techniques. And it's a muscle that can be built. The idea is not... Nobody is born a great storyteller. Nobody is born a great singer. Nobody is born a great mathematician. We are born with some genetic predispositions, perhaps. But it's not what we are born with. It's what we do with what we are born with that makes a lot of difference.
Well said. Well said. And, you know, you also support people and organizations in telling their stories. Give me a few examples of the kind of people you have helped and the kind of stories you have helped them tell.
Well, it has a wide range of applications. So I'll take perhaps the more extreme examples and some pretty obvious ones as well. Today, you know, I'm in Delhi and I'm speaking at a conference for social sector organizations on fundraising.
Okay.
All fundraising, you know this, Ashutosh.
Yeah.
Storytelling. Whether it's fundraising for startups where they raise funds from VC firms or Shark Tank or social sector organizations. All fundraising is
storytelling.
It's storytelling. So that's one of the areas where we work with organizations and individuals and help them take their story to a level where it can achieve its purpose. The second area that we work in, and then now I'm going to cite a very interesting example where we were roped in by Star Television to work with the sports commentators and help the sports commentators elevate their storytelling.
Right.
Now, most sports commentators are not like Harsha Bhogle. Now, what I mean by that is Harsha Bhogle went to IIMA. He has the gift of vocabulary. Most sports commentators are sports people who dropped out of school and college to pursue the passion for sport. But now they have a second career after their playing career is over. And that is the second career as a commentator, where articulation and vocabulary is key.
Correct.
If a commentator on cricket match says, "Fantastic shot, the ball is racing to the boundary," that's not great commentary. We can all see the ball racing to the boundary. You are narrating what we can all see. You're stating the obvious. It's almost like doing radio commentary on television. So is it possible for commentators to elevate their storytelling and do that real time and take people into what's happening here?
Correct.
So that was a great assignment. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that. And, you know, it challenged us. It pushed us. But it also, you know, rewarded us. The other application that I'm going to share with you is we are currently working with Olympic Gold Quest. We've been doing that for the last 3-4 years where we are working with sports coaches and helping sports coaches improve their storytelling ability. Now, why is it important for a good sports coach to be a good storyteller? Well, when we think of sports coaching, we always think about people working on backhands and forehands and techniques and shots, etc. Now, there's a physical aspect of the game, but there's a whole mental aspect of the game as well.
Correct.
And that, in that area, stories can play a big role. And the coach can inspire performances and reassure people, apply balm after a week, after a loss, all through narratives.
Amazing.
But are sports coaches storytellers, or are they just physical instructors and trainers? So that's a capability that we are trying to build.
You're so right. You know, as you were talking, it took me back. I'm much older than you, but took me back to listening to commentary on the radio, you know, where it would be, you know, the bowler has come in, bowled, he's hit the shot, it's running around, and, you know, the person is chasing after that. And those same people came initially on television, and you say, but why is he telling me all this? I can see it. Well said. What a great example. So tell me, I mean, how important are anecdotes in storytelling?
Very, very important. Mm-hmm. What anecdotes do is, but they are one part of the storyteller's armory, or you know, one tool in the storyteller's toolkit. Having said that, they are as important as any other tool can be. Anecdotes are important because while they are personal, we can all relate with that. Imagine if I was going into a meeting with the board of Singapore Airlines. One of the best ways to begin a story would be with a personal anecdote, which would go like this. Hey, for this meeting, I was traveling from India by Singapore Airlines and --.
Correct.
And people are waiting with bated breath for me to finish now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or if I was meeting the management of More Supermarkets. Yeah, there's a supermarket chain called More Supermarkets. Yeah. And if I was meeting the management team, I could begin that conversation by saying, yesterday I was at Moore shopping for groceries when --. And everybody is waiting with bated breath for me to finish that sentence.
Fabulous.
We don't leverage the power of something as simple as anecdotes in our business conversations.
Well said. So one of the questions that, you know, when I was reading about you and looking at your website, I was wondering, why is the art of storytelling not taught in schools? Because it is such a powerful way to communicate.
Well, I hope that there is a change. There is a change happening. If you look at curriculums, there's CBSE curriculum, there's ICSE curriculum, and there's IB curriculum. If you look at the IB or IGCSE curriculums, they don't teach storytelling per se, but it does get taught in other ways. Where my kids go to an IB school, and 3 times a year, starting grade one, or 4 times a year, every quarter, the parents go to school, and the kids have to tell a story about what they have been doing in the last quarter. They don't do that with PowerPoint. They don't do that with, they just stand up and tell a story. And they may use props, they may use a project that they have built, a model of something, but they could just do that by just standing up and telling a story and transporting and say, you know, the listener to a place and time 2 months ago where a teacher walked into the class, narrated an incident and led a realization or reflection in the student's mind. I have seen that, when I interact with people from certain cultures, you will see that they tend to have better narrative ability. And the reason is it's been taught through schools. They have had to do a lot of narrative work or presentation work in schools and colleges. And by the time they get to the managerial roles or leadership roles, they don't need a training program for that. You know, I wish this, you know, the work that I do didn't exist. That would be utopia for me, where we didn't have to run these training programs or workshops or do this, because then people would be good storytellers per se. You know, the tragedy is we think that storytelling is important for audiences, that, you know, we do good work and we should be able to communicate that work to the audiences. Actually, if you've done good work and if your work is up there and your story is falling short, it's not just an injustice to the audience. First, it is an injustice to your own good work that you've done.
Correct. Correct. Well said. You know, I've had this debate over the last 3.5 decades with people, which is that if you don't talk about what you have done, nobody's going to talk about it for you. And the general thing we have in our country is let someone else find out what I'm doing rather than my talk about it.
Well, both are good, but both need to happen in conjunction.
Correct.
Others need to tell your story, and you should, in fact, infect them with enthusiasm for your story so that they become champions and ambassadors. Mm-hmm. At the same time, what you said is very true. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to paraphrase that. Actually, mm-hmm. I'm going to borrow a old quote or a proverb from Africa. Mm-hmm. So there's this old African proverb, and it comes from the jungles. And it goes something like this. And you triggered it, by the way, mm-hmm. by saying what you did.
Mm-hmm.
It goes something like this. If the lion doesn't tell its own story, hunter does.
Yeah.
So we have to take charge of our narrative. And I remember an incident where the Times of India as a newspaper entered the Chennai market.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of telling people through communication why they should buy Times of India, they started telling the story about Hindu, which was their competitor, the other newspaper, and why people should not buy the Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of Hindu telling its story, now Times of India was telling the story that Hindu is a boring newspaper. It's long format stories. It puts people to sleep. It's too detail oriented, etc. And so their entire communication campaign was not about Times of India itself. Correct. It was about the Hindu. And I remember I was working at Ogilvy, the ad agency that was handling Hindu's communication responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting at the Hindu's board office in Chennai, having those discussions. And, you know, Hindu's very shy.
Yeah.
They don't do a lot of communication. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, talk about. But this is one time that they did have to respond because somebody else was telling their story on their behalf. And that was, in fact, one of the last pieces of work that I did in advertising before I quit and started Storywalas. And I'm very proud of it. So we did take charge of our story then.
Mm. Fantastic. So let me move on. You also say that we believe that great stories happen to those who can tell them.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about how, or give me an example of how this works.
Well, the world is at story wars with each other, and, you know, the better story wins, or the better storyteller wins.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that happen in both good and bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll not pass a judgment on, you know, storytelling is a tool. It's like science.
Absolutely.
You can make medicine with science. You can make bombs with science.
Correct.
Storytelling is also a narrative tool like that. You can make the world better using storytelling or but look around you and you will see that the politicians who tell better stories win, the businessmen who tell better stories win, and the brands who tell better stories win in the marketplace, and the startups who are telling better, or startup founders who tell better stories win the funding rounds.
Mm.
So everywhere, whether it is spiritual leaders, political leaders, or business leaders, the better storytellers are winning.
Mm.
But more simpler examples would be an organization called Slam Out Loud, which works with kids, the most disenfranchised kids in India,
mm-hmm.
and helps them by giving them a voice, by using art education to teach them poetry so that kids can become poets, so that children can become artists and express their voice. Now, during the pandemic years, the last 2 years have been tough. A lot of social sector organizations were going through a funding crisis. We worked with Slam Out Loud and brainstormed with them and helped them run a fundraising campaign that helped them raise 1 crore rupees during the pandemic and sustain the work that they do. To me, again, you know, it's a good demonstration of the idea that those who tell better stories are able to sustain themselves and win in the marketplace. And when I say marketplace, I'm deliberately choosing a social sector organization example, because those are also marketplaces of some kind.
Very interesting. So my next question to you, and I think I have time for one, maybe two questions. When I was again looking at your website and reading about you, you have three circles, which is stage, tech, and business. And you speak about the magic that happens at the interaction of these three circles. Tell me about these.
Well, you know, every business today is tech business.
Correct.
And I also say this, every business is also shoe business. Mm-hmm. So let me say that slightly differently. If you are in business, mm-hmm. storytelling is also your business.
Correct.
And maybe two, three examples may illustrate this.
Yeah.
One of the biggest innovation challenges in India is Tata Open Innovation Challenge, where there's big prize money. Mm-hmm. The innovation challenge is to solve big business problems, most often using technology. But the way the prize money gets delivered is how you tell that story on the stage.
Correct.
You see technology solving business problems, and the, you know, the funding happens or the winners are announced depending on how well you tell the story on stage. So we've had the pleasure of working and the privilege of working with some of these technology people, innovators, pioneers, and help them tell their better, tell the story in a better way so that they can win the mandate and bring about the change.
Amazing.
There is a saying in Hindi, jungle mein mor nacha, kisne dekha, which roughly translates as the peacock may have danced in the forest beautifully, but who saw it? An idea today without funding is like the peacock dancing in the forest. And it's the stage that gets you the funding. It should not be so, but that's how it is.
That's how,
and it's imperative that even a pioneer, even an innovator, even an R&D guy is not just filing patents, but is able to tell a story in order for that idea to get funded. So we also work with Accenture's Startup Challenge. And a very simple recent example or two would be a startup called Coulomb AI, works in the EV battery space. And I was invited to work with the founder. And it was a delight to work with the founder and help them elevate their storytelling. They just got into Y Combinator, which is the biggest startup accelerator in the world. So that's great success.
Amazing. Amazing. So my last question to you, Amin, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. What would you say are three lessons of storytelling from your own life that you would want our viewers and listeners to take away? And you've already given us one, which I will take as the fourth, which is authenticity.
I would also say that humility matters in the way you tell that story. The tone of voice is important.
Correct.
It's not just what we say, but also how we say something. And where a lot of chest thumping is happening today, authenticity in your humility is also important. Not greenwashing, not posturing. It needs to come from within, but a certain element of humility in the way you tell stories is important. The last big lesson that I think, and that's not just storytelling, but life, my entire journey has taught me, is that hard work beats talent, or a combination of hard work and talent goes a much longer way than sheer talent alone. And good guys do win. Let me illustrate actually through a story, and maybe we can close the conversation with a story. This is a lesser known story. Most people don't know the story. It's about a legend from India called Lata Mangeshkar. Now, this This happened in 2007, and the story is from 2007. Mm-hmm. Lata Mangeshkar was already in her 70s,
mm-hmm.
and she had cut back on singing majorly. She was not singing anymore, or being very selective with songs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a movie director called Rakesh Om Prakash Mehra, mm-hmm. and Rakesh Om Prakash Mehra was collaborating with A.R. Rahman
mm-hmm.
on a movie. This movie is called Rang De Basanti.
Mm-hmm.
And A.R. Rahman was not just composing the songs for the movie, he was also doing the background score.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to do the background score, you have to see every scene and correct. Compose music for that scene. If it's a sad scene, sad music there. Mm-hmm. If it's a patriotic scene, patriotic music there, and so on and so forth. Now, there's a scene in the movie that both of them saw on the editing table, and they felt that something is missing there. And that's the scene where a boy's dead body comes wrapped
mm-hmm.
in the national flag.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pilot who flies the MiG-21, mm-hmm. An aircraft, and dies in an accident. And mm-hmm. the body is received by his old mother.
Mm-hmm.
The old mother in the movie is played by Wahida Rehman.
Mm-hmm.
And the pilot is played by Madhavan. And, you know, while composing the background score, they felt that there's something missing here.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was almost complete.
Mm-hmm.
But Rahman felt a song would do justice, because a song can convey emotions like dialogues cannot.
Correct, correct.
So while the movie was almost complete, they decided to shoot a song. So they wrote a song. They invited Prasoon Joshi to write a song. And Rahman composed for it. And they were wondering who could do justice to the song as a singer. And both of them agreed that it would be Lata Mangeshkar. So they approached Lata Mangeshkar and explained the situation, explained that Wahida Rahman is playing the mother, and described the scene. While Lataji had stopped singing and cut back on work, she agreed to lend her voice to the mm-hmm. song. And it was decided that the song would be recorded on the 15th of the month.
Mm.
Around 7th or 8th of the month, Rakesh gets a phone call, and Lata says, I will come to Chennai for the recording. Now, initially, it was planned that the recording would be done in Mumbai, because that's where Lataji stays.
Correct.
And they didn't want to trouble her. They didn't want her to travel. But see, she understood the importance of the music composer's freedom. And Rahman has a studio in Chennai. If Rahman had to come to Mumbai, he would have to hire a studio, and that would mean certain constraints. So she said, I will come to Chennai.
Amazing.
Now, and I want to come to Chennai a few days earlier. Now, again, they didn't understand why she is saying that. Maybe they thought, you know, she wants to meet up with some friends. She hasn't been to Chennai. So they said, yeah, please come. She takes a flight to Chennai, lands at the airport. There's a hotel room booked for her, but she doesn't go to the hotel. She goes straight to the studio and spends hours at the studio listening to the track again and again and again.
Mm.
And then she asked for the track on a cassette,
mm-hmm.
not an MP3 player, not a digital, but on a cassette and tape recorder. And then she takes it back to the hotel room. And while she's leaving, she says, I'll practice this for the next 3-4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And let you know when I'm ready. Ashutosh, let that sink in. Here's someone who's been singing for 60 years. She had 6 decades of singing experience and many awards and Bharat Ratna to her credit. And she's saying, I will practice this for the next 3-4 months and let you know when I'm ready. And then she goes back to the hotel room and practices that song. On the day of the recording, she's the first one to arrive at the studio. And, you know, she's given a chair to sit on. And she says, no. If you know singing, you know, you know that breath work is important. So she says, I'll stand and sing. And there's a glass of warm water and a bottle kept there. They start recording at 6 in the morning. The recording goes on till about 12 or 1. It's 6 hours.
Mm.
And one of the reasons, there are many reasons why, but it takes long to record a song. One of the other reasons why it took longer is whenever she thought she had made a mistake or she was not happy with the way she sounded, most modern singers, they record the line or the word again. And, you know, using technology, you can fix the glitches. Here, Lata Mangeshkar, she would go back to the beginning and start all over from the start. Mm. Till 12 o'clock, she was standing.
Mm.
76 years old. He's standing. And all she's had is warm water.
Yeah.
Legends are made like this. There are at least 200 singers who have great voices.
Correct.
Like Lata Mangeshkar in India. But it's not talent. It's hard work and talent that takes it.
Well said. Well said. What a great story to end with. And, your comment of if you are in business, storytelling is your business and you have to be in that business. Thank you so much for talking to me. Thank you for talking to me and telling me about Better Storytellers Win. And I hope a lot of our viewers and listeners will appreciate what a powerful message there is in this comment of Better Storytellers Win. Thank you for talking to me about your journey as a storywala, about your amazing experiences that and the whole examples of and the number of anecdotes you gave us. And finally, thank you for your wonderful lessons and the story of Lata Mangeshkar ji. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.